Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
Come on, our God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
His strength where I've been weak.
Where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign.
Forever.
Say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know it's awesome, say it. Come on and lift your voice.
Savior of the whole world.
Giver of salvation.
By his stripes,
I'm healed.
My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
His grace is why I'm living.
Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it.
Awesome.
Come on, somebody say, he's mighty.
He's mighty.
Welcome to Revival America, sponsored by Grapevine Ministries. I'm Reverend Dennis Wilson. I'll be hosting tonight. Let's open up with a prayer. Father, open our souls that we may be of a heart that is alive in your love, ears that seek diligently the voice of your Holy Spirit, eyes that are not spiritually blind. That our souls be of the faith of a desired and willing obedience according to your grace that brings us to action in the armor of righteousness to glorify Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, let our souls be as fertile ground to receive your seed of spirit and truth that they may take root and multiply in the world. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, for he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. In Jesus' name we pray these things, that by your will it will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. I see we have a couple of callers come on here. So find out who we got. We got one with a 417 area code. Could you please announce yourself?
I am David Ehrman today.
Grace and blessings
Apostle
be with
Paul,
you.
Apostle Nick confused me with calling me David Floyd. It's actually David Lloyd with an L.
Lloyd, okay. Well, I'm glad you're here tonight, David.
Yes, sir.
We also have somebody from a 216 area code. Could you introduce yourself?
That's me. That's me, Apostle Dennis. This is Rita.
God bless, Rita.
God bless everybody.
Thank you, dear.
And we have one other here, 214 area code. Could you introduce yourself?
Hello. Yes, I'm Sharita's niece, Penny.
That's my niece.
That's my...
Amen. It's good to have family.
Yes, it is.
Hey, Apostle
yes,
Rita.
It is.
Apostle Rita, you want to open us up with another prayer?
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. We just thank you for another Saturday night, Father God. God, we just thank you that you're allowing us to, you said, just come boldly through the throne of grace, Father God. God, we ask
Amen.
You to touch every ear, touch every heart. Give us a heart to trust and obey you even more tonight, Father, as ever before. Father God, we just ask that you touch the speaker, anoint our ears so that we can receive and understand and obey and do the word and be a hearer and be a doer and not just a hearer. Oh, God, bless the speaker, Father God. Put the words in his mouth, Father God. Oh, God, we just thank you for your presence. We just thank you for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do tonight in this prayer line tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. While we're bringing out the prayers, let us all raise up Apostle Nick in our prayers. Let's bring forth the prayer of protection as he travels back from Missouri.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody Anybody have any praise reports or prayer requests?
Praise report.
Go ahead.
I haven't been bleeding all week. I'm not real happy with the report of the MRI, but my God's bigger than it is, so I believe the word of God over my doctor's report. They had found a tumor lesion in my liver is what was causing me to bleed. I haven't had any blood for since I've gotten out of the hospital anyway, so hallelujah. No transfusions. I will have to be traveling to St. Louis soon, and hoping he'll make provisions for that for me to see a specialist at Barnes Jewish Hospital at their Washington University. That's where my life started. I was born there, so I thought it was highly appropriate. Maybe that's where I go back to where I began. But got a lot of people praying for me, and I thank each one of y'all for your prayers in the past and current and declarations of healing and wholeness and the shalom of God over my life right now. I'm at peace. The worst inevitable outcome of this whole thing is I make heaven. So hallelujah. I walk without fear.
Amen. Anybody else?
Praise God. I want to thank God for bringing my niece back into my life. She's on the line tonight. I just want to thank God for being so good, reconciling my niece and I to be able to come back together, to talk and to pray the way we did before. It's just a blessing. It's come apart. The enemy put a wedge there and stopped talking for whatever reason. But praise God, we back on the same page, praising our Father God, lifting up our Father, thanking Him, and I just that's just a blessing for me and her.
Yeah,
I just want to thank God to have a relationship back mended.
Yeah,
He is a restored God.
Yes, He is.
Amen.
Amen.
As we can see, we can see by these prayer requests and reports, God does healing in all manners of ways.
Yes, He does.
So for David's healing of his body and for the healing of the family, for Sister Rita, I'll offer this prayer of healing up for all those who may be listening in as well. Father, You are great I am, creator, healer, anointing through the Holy Spirit of Your living word, Christ Jesus. You know who we are, what we need, and how to lift us up, and all without us asking. However, You love for us to abound and seek Your blessings through our prayers, so they may rise up as a sweet-smelling aroma unto You. So, Father, we raise our voices unto You in love and humility and simply ask, trusting in Your love and the Holy Spirit, Father, make right that which is wrong, rebuke that which is not of You, heal us in body, soul, and spirit, so we may walk in Your spiritual example and as Your light unto the world. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For You are my praise. Amen.
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 If nobody else has any other prayer request or anything, I guess we'll go ahead and Brother Lloyd, you want to go ahead and come forth with the message?
Yes, I do have one more prayer request that y'all can keep
okay.
in mind. And, my hospital stay, I had pointed out from work, so now I am currently unemployed. I have
a wonderful, wonderful interview early Tuesday morning for an even better job than I had. I had a pretty good job, but I hope to hear from them next week and get back to work, get back to business.
Amen.
So, been having struggle this week with, kind of was wanting to talk about honor was on kind of the forefront of my mind right at first, and then pondering the Apostle Paul, Nick's comments on love, God kind of steered me towards this. So it's kind of a mixed up thing, because then I got asked Tuesday night at a group Bible study at First Assembly here in Springfield. They decided, they asked me if I would give my personal testimony of God in my life. So hopefully I can roll all three of this into one. But I would like to keep with and expand upon Apostles Nick on love. We're going to be focusing mainly on the agape. All scripture will be coming from the King James Authorized. And we will also be referencing, probably going to start out with the Vine's Expositionary Dictionary of New and Old Testament Words. I don't know if any of y'all have that. I would highly encourage you to get it. I love just reading it and just finding out what the biblical words mean, because they're just not necessarily with in line with what the world has to say. So let's start here with agape. That's used in the New Testament. And according to the Vines, it says to describe the attitude of God towards his son. I don't know. Y'all might maybe want to have a piece of paper, pencil, or pen, maybe copy some of these scriptural references down if you would like a further study. I will be giving the references. If y'all would like me to wait just a minute, I'd be more than happy to wait for, if y'all would care to. If not, I will proceed. Any objections? Hello?
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. But agape and agapeo are used in the New Testament to describe the attitude of God toward his son. That's in John 17:26. And then in the human race generally, is John 3:16 and Romans 5:8, and to such as believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly John 14:21, is to convey his will to his children concerning their attitudes towards one another. John 13:34, and toward all men. There's 1 Thessalonians 3:12, 1 Corinthians 16:14, 2 Peter 1:7. And that is to express the essential nature of God, as in 1 John 4:8. Love can be known only from the actions it prompts. God's love is seen in the gift of his son, 1 John 4:9-10. But obviously it is not the love of complacency or affection. That is, it is not drawn out by any excellency in its objects. Romans 5:8. It was an exercise of the divine will and deliberate choice made without assignable cause, save that which lies in the nature of God himself. That would be in Deuteronomy 7:7-8. Love had his perfect expression among men in the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:14, 4, chapter 3:19, and 5:2. Christian love is the fruit of his spirit in Galatians 5:21. Christian love has God as its primary object and expresses itself first in all in
implicit obedience to his commandments. John 14:15, 21, 23, 15:10, 1 John 2:5, 5:3, 2 John 6. Self-will, that is, self-pleasing, is the negation of the love of God. Christian love, whether exercised toward the brethren or toward men generally, is not an impulse from the feelings. It does not always run with the natural inclinations. That ain't no kidding. Nor does it spend itself only upon those whom some affinity is discovered. Love seeks the welfare of all. That's in Romans 15:2. And works no ill to any. That's in 13:8-10. Love seeks an opportunity to do good to all men, and especially toward them that are the household of the faith. And that'll go with Galatians 6:10 and 1 Corinthians 13, Colossians 3:12-14. In respect to agapeo, as used of God, it expresses the deep, constant love and interest of a perfect being, is capitalized as being God, towards entirely unworthy objects, producing and fostering a reverential love in them towards the giver. Again, that's capitalized in reference to God. And a practical love towards those who are partakers of the same, and a desire to help others to seek the giver. That's as a verb. And I'm going to skip over the noun part of it. I think it's probably finished there. So, and him last week saying the four definitions of love, I'm kind of like to further expand upon what love is, and probably just as importantly is what love is not. And by that, which maybe through that, knowing what it is and what it isn't, maybe that will help us all and encourage us all to further expand our, you know, our love towards each other and basically the human race as we know it, because it seems to me it, I don't know about everybody else, it can be very challenging. To me, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 13, and I'm just going to read it, and we'll just see where it goes. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could move mountains and not have charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and not have charity, it profits me nothing. This is what charity is. It suffers long. It is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeking not her own. It is not easily provoked, it thinketh no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away the childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. Now we abide in faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity is also defined as love. What is, I think reveals that is that when we operate contrary to that, we start to envy, to boast, be proud, rude, self-seeking, that we don't adhere to what love is, that it will cause our works to diminish and cease. God forbid. So, to further expand on what that love is, I'm going to go to Galatians 5:1 and then 13 and 16. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or freedom, depending on how you want it, to define it, same thing, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And we'll drop down here. Let's see, where was we wanting to go? Oh, here we go. Down to 13. It says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye not be consumed one another. So I say this then, walk in the Spirit, and we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. So you cannot do the things that ye would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, and heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they that which do these such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So let's get back into what is the fruit of the Spirit. That the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So I'm going to drop on down to chapter 6, verse 10. As we therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are the household of faith. I would say we need to just keep striving for that. I know I personally struggle. I need to be transparent. When you see all these foul things going on earth right now, especially in the United States, it provokes me to anger. And I mean, this late term abortion and, you know, the persecution of the Christians, it's very testing of me to not walk in love as we should. I mean, he says to love your enemies and bless them. But if we could keep that in focus, I think it would be a benefit to us all. Let's see, I've got a note here.
Philippians 2. Let me go over here and see what I have. I forgot to put a note. Ephesians, Philippians. Here we go. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be likewise having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of the others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That was a good word. That just, that really came to me today. Like I said, I was, had been wanting to talk about honor, I thought, at first. And in light of that, just who should we honor? I've got 1 Samuel 2:30. It talks about dishonor is always out of order and always involves loss. Deuteronomy 5:16, honor or obedience to your parents will give you long life, wealth, that it may go with you. If y'all would like to study some of this out, I'm going to try to keep this real short and give you some verses on it. 1 Timothy 5:3-5 to the true widows and orphans. Point four is Leviticus 19:32. Honor your elders. Point five is 1 Peter 3:6-7. You honor your spouse, your husband, your wife. Grace is favor. Let me extend to them. Now, I believe there's so much blessings that are tied to our us being honorable. 1 Peter 2:17. We are to honor all men. All men are created in God's image, so I believe we should also honor that. Point seven would be 1 Timothy 6:1. Bosses and employers, and it'll allow you, when you honor them, you will get a promotion by submission, is basically the context of that. We're to honor the fivefold ministry. There's quite a bit to say about that. Matthew 13:57, Acts 28:8-10, 1 Timothy 5:17, Romans 13:17. And as I was studying this, I got to back on my point six with all men, honor them. You know, like you said, how do we honor, you know, people that would have our head, because we don't submit to their false god. Especially with me wanting to go to India soon. They've got radical Hindus and Muslims there that they just as soon kill me as hear me speak. I asked God, I said, how in the world do we honor them in spite of that? And his response was, you honor them by not dishonoring them. And he kind of revolved to me how I could witness to them. He said, what you do is you honor them by allowing them to tell them about their God first. And just compare their God to me and show them how much better I am. Like I said, I wish I had got more into it. I've been pretty busy with doctors and stuff this week on the honor. And have some on that. But getting back with love, might want to get into my testimony somewhat and my experience firsthand of God. He says that we overcome this world by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. So, if y'all would humor me, I'll briefly go about God calling when I found that He led as a young man. The first verse I ever learned. Call was Matthew 4:19. Satan came to me at a very, very young age, probably 6 to 7 years old. When I read that verse, that's the first memory verse I ever memorized. And it's if you follow me, well, actually it says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. My understanding of it is, and it was at that time also, if you follow me, I will make you a fisher. And as a very young man, the devil showed me like standing up in front of crowds, and it terrified me. I mean, that was my first act of rebellion, I believe. So proceeding on up until later school years, junior high, I had been drugged and raped inappropriately by a man, and it caused a lot of mental anguish. My views on God, I'd never had any kind of relationship. I knew about God, but never really had a relationship. And so I fell into doing a lot of drugs. And that went on for a very long time, probably 30 years or better. And got to one point where I actually heard the voice of God and know it was God and recognized it as God. And I was had to go to Wilson County, Tennessee, to answer a narcotics charge, possession charge. And I was sitting at a table with my mom and dad, and we're having a conversation with them. And I just looked at my dad, and I said, "Would it have been so? Was it so hard to, you know, you could never tell me? I mean, even once that you loved me, or that you was proud of me, even if you lied to me? I mean, was it that hard?" And my father, and I'm not.
The table, and he got up and didn't say a word, and he walked away. And I sat there and I looked at my mom. I'm just absolutely destroyed.
You're kind of fading out there, brother.
Pardon?
You were kind of fading out there. We didn't hear all of that.
Oh, well, I was sitting at the table, and you know, I asked my dad, was it so hard for you to ever tell me that you loved me or that you ever were proud of me? Even if you had to lie to me, was it that so hard? And he just got up and just walked away and didn't say a word and left me and my mom sitting there. And I finally looked at my mom, and I just threw my hands up in the air. And she finally broke silence and said, "Do you think it would have made a difference?" And I said, "I guess we'll never know." So I proceeded to go outside, just one of several times that contemplating suicide and murdering myself. And I was sitting there, and I heard this voice. It's so strange. It seemed like, I mean, there wasn't any definitive place, like saying we're talking face to face. It didn't come at me like that, but it came out from everywhere. And it asked me, it said, "Son, what is wrong?" And I just raged off at this voice. And I asked him, I said, is that so hard to tell somebody they love them, that they're proud of them? And this voice said to me, he said, "Oh, that's just your dad. I'm your father. And I am proud of you. And I do love you. And not only do I love you and I'm proud of you, but I always have been and I always will be." And I think it was probably the first time I actually experienced the agape love. So I continued on, you know, kind of my life, kept that kind of in the back of my head, and kind of kept walking and really hadn't been discipled or nothing. So I, you know, kept on my path. Wound up getting a felony conviction, got put on probation. I wound up messing that up, got a violation, got really bad sick while I was waiting to go to prison. I got what they call C death and had such a bad case that I was just in constant pain. I was in intensive care for almost 30 days. And about day 10 into it, I begged God for 2 days just to let me die. I didn't care what happened to me anymore. I begged, I pleaded, I did everything to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And his response was, sent me not one, but 2 angels. All I could do was barely, at the end of the 3rd day, was just barely whisper the name Jesus. And he responded, I can still feel, I had one at my feet, their hand on my feet, and the other one raised their hand and worshiped God and ministering over me, and another one held me in their bosom. I can still feel their fingers running through my hair, just talking about them. They just calmly whispered in my ear saying, "It's all going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right." And I heard that for about 4 days, and then I finally started getting better and kind of coming out of that sickness. And off to prison I went. So being in prison for 9 months to get out, I wound up moving to Arkansas and still hadn't gotten myself straightened out. Was working for a chicken plant down in Knoll, Missouri. Got a 3-day safety violation, turned into 3 months, and I was at my wit's end. There's a creek behind my house. About November, it was around Thanksgiving. Just all alone, and I set out the creek at night, just wanting to go take a swim and end it. I heard a Mexican, I believe it's be Pentecostal church, because they were obviously singing in Spanish. I didn't understand it, but they started speaking in tongues, which I had heard and was familiar with it. It kept me from killing myself then. And in the morning, every morning after I'd sat out there, I kept seeing this vision of a man's face, and he said, "Dave, come to Hollister, we can help you." So I heard that every day for about 2 weeks, and I finally got a hold of my mom, and we went down to Hollister. She said she knew a church that their pastor had been a opiate painkiller addict and started a church. So I went to talk to him, and they had a restoration discipleship program, which I wound up getting into, thank God. They delivered me instantly from opiate and narcotic addiction. I haven't done it since in over 8 years, glory to God. To come from that, it got to where about 6 months into my salvation, I still could not understand the love of God, and I was questioning you know, so I was just amazed at how the God of all creation could love me when I hated myself, even under my own murder of myself. I just did not and couldn't wrap my mind around it. And I was sitting there with a group of men. We went to a men's encounter. And I don't know if you'd call it a vision, but it was actually like I was actually there. He took me away. And I sent him flat on his back, tied to the cross, just this mangled, barely recognizable human body. As they were sitting there, he opened up his eyes, and he was looking down his right arm, looking at me in the eye with his one eye he could open. And he said, "I do this for you because I love you." And he kept saying that over and over. And then he looked up to the guard and kind of nodded at him. And the guard drove the nails into the tree. And he kind of grimaced in pain. And then he smiled. And he looked at me and he goes, "I do this for you. I love you." And he just kept saying over and over. And when the nail pierced his skin, the blood splattered on my face. I could taste it. I could smell it. I could feel it drip down my chest off my face. And he just kept saying that over and over. "I love you. I do this for you." It's just absolutely amazing thing he has done for us. I still don't even scratch the surface of just how much his true love really is. Hopefully we'll all get to enjoy that in the end, in heaven. So that kind of brings us up here today. Hopefully I'll be going to India and fulfilling my destiny with the kingdom of God. I hope I had a little bit more for y'all. Kind of got it done quicker than I thought I would. Any thoughts from anybody?
Praise God, brother. Thank you for bringing forth your testimony on what God has done in your life. You know, you said something earlier in the message that Matthew chapter 4, verse 9 came upon you between the ages of 6 and 7. And when you said that, it kind of opened up my thoughts back when I was 6 and 7. And at that time, I just entered into a new foster home. And my parents, they were Jewish. I was born a Catholic, and I was christened a Catholic. And shortly after I moved in, they applied for me to go to Hebrew school. And for the next 6.5-7 years, that's what I did every Saturday morning from 9 to 11. And I studied the Torah. And I learned to speak Hebrew. And something else you said that was right on the mark. When Jesus was gathering his disciples, he said, "Come with me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And you know something? That's our purpose today as believers, are to gather the followers of Jesus. You see, some people are identified by their different denominations. Some say, "I'm a Christian." Some say, "I'm a believer." And all I know is I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower in the way. Amen. And the more we get into the Word of God, we obtain the understanding of how to live our life accordingly. And something else he said, a lot of things that I can relate to. You said you've been to prison. And I know how difficult of a time that may have been for you, because I myself endured the same for 13 years. And I gotta say, it was scary, it was a struggle, and it was a battle to live each day.
Absolutely.
In a controlled place that you have no control, but by others who are as bad or worse than you. So you know what? All I can conclude is that God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. For the first 6 years of being locked up, I became very hateful, very angry. I wasn't so much mad at God, I was mad at myself for allowing myself to be in a position to be locked up not once, not twice, not three times, but four times. I'm considered a career criminal. But you know what? As I read about Paul, Paul was a murderer. Paul crucified God's people. Paul was imprisoned. Yeah. Paul is a perfect example of my life today. A lot of people identify me as Paul. Yes, there's a lot of similarities. One thing that was amazing that happened to Paul was on that road to Damascus that day, God got Paul's attention.
Yeah.
Made no mistake about that, and Paul knew something was up. And then God told Paul to go into the city and meet that man Ananias. Ananias was waiting for him and brought him home. He put him in a room, and for the next 3 days, all Paul did was pray and fast. Pray and fast. And after the third day, he came out, and he could see the light. And his whole life had changed before him. His whole life, he became a fisher of men. He was one man. And he designed, he put together seven churches. Some say as much as 11. But we know from the Word of God that there were seven churches that Paul brought forth for God's people, for God's kingdom. And again, Paul had done miraculous things for God's kingdom. And Paul is a perfect example of how we all should be living today.
Amen.
Something that Paul said that...
Joe Dwayne?
Yeah.
Can you kind of sum up, give some other people a chance?
Sure, I'll shut up. Thank you.
I'll shut up. Thank you. No, sum up. I said sum up, brother. Okay. Well, sometimes.
Glad we can make it a possible, Nick.
Hallelujah. How y'all doing tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Hey, Dennis, mute whoever's on here for now because we have a lot of feedback.
I've done tried that, Nick, and it doesn't make any difference who I mute. It's still there.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll deal with it. Hallelujah. You know,
we just rebuke that spirit in the air. Leave our message alone.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, you preached about honor tonight. You know, and I remember you telling me she was preaching about this tonight. In the kingdom of God and in the ministry of God, there must be honor. And when there is no honor in the house, which is the house of God, then we're going to have all sorts of chaos and mess. And when there's all sorts of chaos and mess, then we got problems with egotistical men or women or so on that think they're higher than they ought to. They make themselves bigger than what they should be. Sisters and brothers, you know, I just witnessed something while I was on a journey here in a missions trip with the apostle here from Milwaukee that, you know, it was a training session for me, from God. And as I saw what happened and unfolded before my eyes, you know, this isn't I, this isn't me, this isn't my. If I, me, or my is in it, then it's your flesh and it's not the Holy Spirit. This is what Deacon Glenn and I were just talking about while we were walking outside. And when I, me, and my is in it, God cannot work in you because it's about you and it's not about the Holy Spirit. And I saw the apostle get up there tonight, and she said what the Holy Spirit stated. Because if we go back to the book of Acts, and people don't realize it, in the book of Acts, men have said that, hey, Jonah, okay, was Jonas, which was, according to them, a man. Well, if we actually break down that actual truth in the proof, Jonah was a woman. Thus, she walked amongst the apostles. And if she walked amongst the apostles, then what does that mean? That means she was a part of the apostolic, the apostleship.
Right.
So if she was a part of the apostleship, then what did God sit and say? God sat and said that there, in the book of Galatians, the 3rd chapter, 28th verse, that there's not a Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, but the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So if it's the Spirit of Jesus Christ, then egotistical men, get off your high horse and stop sitting and trying to think that you're something higher than what you are. And you women, hallelujah, hallelujah, let's bring it back to the Holy Ghost and let's realize that we must walk hand in hand. We must walk high hand in hand. And you men that think you higher than you ought to, you think you're bigger than what you are, let me tell you something. If you don't humble yourself right now before the name of Jesus, before his Holy Spirit, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to lose everything. You're going to lose everything. Hallelujah. And when you lose everything.
1 Corinthians 13.
Go ahead, David.
We are to promote others as our over ourselves for the better of for the whole. What was that First Corinthians?
No, go ahead, brother.
So,
go ahead.
It speaks of that to humble ourselves.
Yeah.
Like you say, even back with the honor part of it, honor attracts honor, and if
that's
you're
right.
Honorable. It will attract honor. I mean,
hold on,
we honor God.
He said, honor attracts honor.
That is so key.
That's
And when we lift others up, God promotes us. I don't want to promote
Come
me.
On.
I want God to do it.
Exactly.
Whoever
exactly.
is considered the least in the kingdom will be considered the greatest. That's what he said. You know,
Dennis,
call me a doorman. You call me a disciple. You call me a follower of the way. You know? That's me.
Dennis.
I got three desires in my life. I was asked the other day, what do I really want? I spit it out before I even realized I was speaking. I said, one, I want to radically follow my Jesus. Two, I want to lead as many souls into the kingdom as I possibly can. My third desire,
that's right,
what I really want, is to make heaven. Period. Rate my successful life based on them three conditions.
I want to go back
what?
To something, Dennis. Can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me?
You got a tall Chinese accent, man. I don't know you had your stuff.
Okay, whoever's on their phones right now, please mute those to show the house of God respect. Amen? Let's show the house of God respect. Amen? Dennis, I remember way back you said something that was key. God's going to choose those that are most qualified and those that are anointed by his name, by his spirit. Hallelujah. You've said this many a times over the time I've known you for 7 years. And within all that time that I've known you, you've remained honorable in God's eyes. And that's why God has brought you up. And you didn't care if it was a man or a woman. You said, just let the Lord bring forth what he wanted to bring forth. See, here's the problem. Here's the problem in the kingdom. And it's something I learned in this situation. Discrimination. Racism. Let's just excuse my French, y'all, but the bull garbage don't belong in the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
And if your heart is not right with God, let me tell you something. There's gonna be me in it. There's gonna be I in it. There's gonna be my in it. And when you got I, me, and my in it, you ain't got nothing but your flesh. And what did God sit there and say? He says, our flesh is as filthy as rags. And if our flesh is as filthy as rags, hallelujah, if our flesh is filthy as rags, then how can God work in a bunch of mess and a bunch of unfilthiness, uncleanliness that's inside of you? Tonight I pray that you take what the man of God said tonight with honor. And you start taking that honor in your life, and you get me out of it, you get I out of it, and get my out of it, and get Jesus in it. Get the Holy Ghost in it. This come back to being born again. How can we be born again when we have ourselves in it at all? Stop trying to talk over other people and start walking together. Stop trying to abuse the people of God and start walking in love. We talked about the agape love of God last week, about the four types of love that the Bible talks about. Well, we in the body of Christ have been given no excuse for the bull garbage that we are bringing upon each other. Amen?
Amen.
So from this day forth, men and women of God, get the egos out of it. Get your pride out of it. Get your flesh out of it. And you need to get back to your knees, and you need to ask the Lord for repentance. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Because I'm nobody. You're nobody. But it's Jesus that makes you somebody. It's his spirit that elevates you. And I know that from this, Dennis, you said something about building my base. Building my base. You said, you stay at that church God got you at now. God's doing something there. And I'm at that church. And I know what God's doing with it. And I know that God's building a team to travel across this country and travel across this world and wake up the church. Amen.
Amen.
And when I went on this journey, I didn't know fully what God was going to do, but I knew something was going to take place. And I saw something in the spiritual before we even came. When God sat there and he spared our lives from an accident that could have happened in I-57, where there were semis that were turned over and rolled over on a very highway we was going to go. And then the apostle said, don't go that way. And she said, don't go that way. And when she said, don't go that way, we took the longer way around. But because we listened to the Holy Ghost, because she listened to the Holy Ghost, because she saw something ahead of time, hallelujah, we all were spared by God's grace and mercy. Because this was a trial. This was a time we all needed to see something. And God's getting ready to build up the kingdom of God. Amen. So from here on out, sisters and brothers, I'm going to be inviting that apostle to come very soon because she's an awesome woman of God, a woman that stands according to God's word as it is written. She ain't got no, she don't play no games. She don't care who you are. She's going to walk in the spirit, simple as that. And it's the same thing every one of us should be walking in, is the spirit of the Holy Ghost. And if the spirit of the Holy Ghost is walking on the inside of you, you won't make these mistakes of walking in the flesh. Dennis, I've heard you say many times over the years, don't walk in willful sin. How can we walk in honor when we're walking in sin that is willful, premeditated sin? God brought down the sledgehammer this weekend. Well, God's brought the sledgehammer down last week. He's bringing it down again this week, Apostle David Floyd. When you preached about honor, when you preached about honor, how can you have all honor without obedience to the Holy Spirit? How can you have salvation, hallelujah, without first looking at yourself? And like Dennis has always said, working out thy soul's salvation is unto the Lord with fear and trembling. Another last thing, brothers and sisters, don't lie on one another. Because let me tell you something, you're not lying on that person, but you're lying on God. And when you lie on God, you ain't attacking the person, you attacking God. And when you attacking God, now you are walking in what the Bible tells us is blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. And when you're walking in blaspheme of the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us what? He sat there and told us that we will not be forgiven. We need to see how serious this thing is. God ain't playing with nobody. Dennis, you said God's taking us through a separation time where he's separating the wheat from the tare. He's separating the holy from the unholy, the just from the unjust. Brothers and sisters, it is time out for playing games. It's time out for being dishonorable in God's eyes. It's time out for being a person that is not going to please God. It's time to please God. Forget about pleasing the pastor, the preacher. If the preacher's out of order, yeah, let me tell you something. You better pull him off to the side in politeness and in kindness and in love and say, I don't understand this. Can you explain to me where you're coming on this? How does this apply in God's word? You have a right to know that that preacher is walking in the Holy Spirit and walking by God. Amen.
Amen.
It is time for us to hold the body of Christ to get accountable, because the pastors and apostles, they are getting up on the pulpits and they're saying stuff that is not of the Holy Spirit, but they're saying stuff that is out of their own flesh, and ain't nothing can abide in that flesh.
Amen.
except for the devil. So tonight, sisters and brothers, wake up. Smell the coffee is an old thing. And see that God wants his people to stand by his anointed. He wants his people to walk in his spirit. And he wants his people to be fired up in the Holy Ghost. Because if you're fired up in the Holy Ghost, can nothing. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it felt like I was staring into the eyes of Satan himself this weekend. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When I saw what I saw from out of town, Dennis, you told me, you said, God's going to show you something when you go there. You said God was going to show me something. He said God was going, I needed to find something here. Well, I found something, and I when I watched the apostle on your pulpit, I learned how to properly deal with a fool. The Bible says a fool says in his heart there is no God. We don't say it by the mouth, but we say it by our heart. And how do we say that? We say that by dishonor. We say that by how we treat one another.
That's right.
We say that. By not loving the Lord God. How can you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your soul and your spirit when you're sitting and you're acting a fool up in the pulpit of God? It ain't your pulpit. It ain't your ministry. It's God's ministry.
That's
this right. ain't my ministry. This is God's ministry. That's why it's continuing to grow. That's why it's going to continue to grow. That's why as I go across this nation, it's going to be one of the biggest radio broadcasts that are out there on the internet. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is speaking and not me.
Come on.
I'm sorry if I got a little fired up tonight, but I don't like how the woman of God was treated tonight, and I don't like how the garbage happened because this ain't of God. Amen.
Amen.
She's an awesome woman of God. Brothers and sisters, hold on now.
Oh,
when we
yeah.
up on now I'm going to set something in order here on this radio broadcast tonight that the Lord said, whenever somebody's speaking on here, please use respect to God and don't speak over others. Amen. Number two. When we're on here, we're going to show one another respect. How do we show one another respect? By not talking on and not allowing others to have a chance to say something. Amen? And this isn't directed towards anyone direct. This is in general to anyone that has done it. If it goes hard for you, then you take it before God. And if you got a problem, you're more than welcome to call me on my personal cell phone. Y'all know my number. But from here on out, this house is going to be in order. And if you can't get with it, let me tell you something, hang up. Because I don't have time to play with nobody that's going to want to play with God and play with God's people. Amen?
Amen.
From here on out, if you want to say something, say it in a way that is going to be honorable to God, number one, and that is not going to disrespect him. Simple as that. So when Apostle Dennis is on here and he's sitting and he's filling in for me on a Saturday night because I'm out of town, you know what? He shouldn't have to cut nobody off. You should have enough Holy Spirit in you to cut yourself off. Amen?
Yeah.
Ain't none of us in here. A lot of us are over the age of 30 or 40 or 50, and we've been seasoned long enough to know what and what not to do. So let me tell you something. You can come up in here. If you want to act a fool, I'm going to tell you hang up right now because we ain't got no time for it. God ain't got no time for it. Why do I say we? Because we are the people of God, and we are of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to show everybody on here respect. Everybody. I ain't no greater than nobody else on here. All I am is a messenger and a vessel of God. And like I said, this was not directed toward anyone in general. This was just everybody in general that it was being said to. Amen?
Amen.
Dennis, I hand it back into your hands, sir. You were covering for tonight. Go ahead, sir. You see fit as the Lord takes you from here.
Sister Rita, is there anything you'd like to add?
It's been a learning experience tonight, I tell you. I thank God. You know, sometimes we have to be disciplined. We have to be set in order. God is a God of order, organized
Amen.
Order. And sometimes we have to listen to whom God put in place. I hear you. I hear you. Praise God. I just want to thank you, Apostle Dennis, for that word you put on Facebook about it's been a blessing to me, Apostle Dennis, about how to be, help me, Holy Ghost, how to have peace amongst them, because I buried my sister this weekend, and you know there was 13 of us, and the Lord took seven. So this is the seventh child that was buried this weekend, and the family got together, and there's always that one. And it was a little chaos, and I really didn't particularly know how to handle it, but I was reading on Facebook what you had posted, Apostle Dennis, about chaos and how to get peace in chaos. So I was like, you know what, God? I wish I had read that. It's good about peace. Because when I was confronted, I didn't know how to get into peace. And I understand now, Father God. You know what I'm saying? We really have to understand and learn and learn about everything, because we don't know everything, because the things that are about to confront us, we have to know. God, the more you're getting, get understanding, get wisdom. And now we're getting it because it is definitely it's coming to come. We're not a gift. So I just thank God for the teaching of tonight. I just thank God. And I thank God for the post of how to deal with chaos and how to center yourself in His word in peace. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the word tonight. It's awesome word tonight.
Amen.
Apostle Lionel, you got to add anything?
Amen, Apostle. I always said, when you know the truth and you see it right in front of you, you can't add nothing to it, because there's nothing to add nor take away. All you got to do is just do it. Because, see, a lot of people, they want to keep adding, and Jesus never took a long time to do anything. He said what he had to say and did what he had to do, and he moved on. And that's one thing that I'm so grateful for. All these posts I get, these words and these conversations that I have, it's just making me stronger. Because I can look at people today in the midst of chaos and say, thank God that's not me. I don't have to argue with anybody today. I can just say okay and walk away. Because if we're going to think like Jesus, we're not going to argue. We're not going to bicker. We're not going to stay into confusion. We're going to learn how to deal with it or get away from it. And that's what we need to do. It's all about order. Everything should be done decently and in order. If it's not going to be done decently and in order, we ain't going to move. We ain't going to get no brownie points. And we ain't going to get no understanding. And God is understanding, because God is love, peace, joy, happiness. There's no confusion in God. The confusion comes when somebody don't want to listen. I'm just thankful. I'm just really grateful, because I know how to listen today.
One's looking for you.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, if you know, I guess it's true. Well, we'll go ahead and sum things up tonight. First off, I want to thank Apostle David Lloyd for bringing the message tonight.
It was a pleasure.
The grace and mercy of God be coming forth with blessings on him. Just like to sum up, let us all remember that whether it be honor, love, salvation itself, blessings, God's grace, it all
it all comes. People, please mute your phones if you're not going to be speaking. But let us all remember that everything that comes of God, whatever it is, honor or whatever, it comes through the Spirit, by the Spirit, and of the Spirit.
Amen.
That is the Spirit and truth of God's living word, which is the Holy Spirit of Christ Jesus. If it doesn't start there first, it's not going to come out that way. Because anything that starts with anything else, as the scriptures say, is of the devil.
Amen.
Brother Lionel, you want to close this out?
Oh, most gracious and Heavenly Father, we just like to thank you, Heavenly Father. We just have to thank you, Heavenly Father, for being in our midst. We like to thank you, Heavenly Father, for being around us. Heavenly Father, it's so grateful to be on one of your programs, Heavenly Father, because we can learn something. We can learn how to do things better. We can learn how to love our brothers and our sisters with the agape love. Not just tell them I love you, but show them I love you. You want to show them that same love, Heavenly Father, that you show us. We know, Heavenly Father, sometimes it get hard, but we got to keep it in front of us at all times. What would Jesus do? And Jesus never done anything wrong. He fixed things. And that's what we want to do, Heavenly Father. We want to fix things so that our brothers and sisters can come up higher and talk to you. We want our brothers and sisters just to bring you everything, not things that they feel they should, but we want to bring you everything, Heavenly Father. But most of all, we want to love and respect you. Because without your love, Heavenly Father, there wouldn't be no love at all. So we just want to say thank you. We want to praise your name, Heavenly Father, and be with
Amen.
You. These things and more. I pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
May God's grace and mercy be with you all. May he bring strengthening and healing in body, soul, and spirit as you go through the days to come. Remember to be attentive to his voice and listen for his call. For the time is short, and we do not know how short it is.
Amen.
Thank you for being here, and blessings be with you. God bless, and good night.
Good night. Thank you, sir.